Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. In this final episode of our series, One Another, Travis White joins me on the show once again to talk about how we as young adults can better honor and love our parents. What does it look like to honor our parents while also developing a faith that is our own? What can young adults do to honor our parents better? We talk about all of this and so much more on this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, feel free to share with a friend on social media or give us a rate and review anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you've already done so, thank you for your support of the show. As always, I'm Tyler Wall, and this is Road Trips. All right, Travis White, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, I got to say, it's not going to be as good as the last time because your better half is not with you this time. And so we had you guys on to talk about education and Christians and education. And your wife, Marisa, was with you for that. But we'll do what we can.
She's my better half for a reason. So you got the lesser half here, but I'll do my best.
We'll make do with what we got. All right. So, I know you're a big history buff. You've taught history. I think I had you in government, so it wasn't quite history. So I want to ask, what is your favorite era of history to study about, to learn about, to talk about?
That's tough for a former history teacher to ask for one, but I would say it would be from the 1930s. I guess you could say all the way through World War II. I mean, obviously World War II is a big part of it, but I'd probably trend towards the 1930s in America and I guess it's just because of the resiliency of the people, especially in Oklahoma. And to think, you know, most people that are in Oklahoma had ancestors that survived that, the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl going at the same time. And I always liked teaching that in history. I also like teaching about the 20s, which, you know, really kind of caused the 30s and how everybody was living and spending money and buying stuff on credit and how that collapsed. A lot of that's applicable to today. But I don't know. I just wonder. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around, you know, how tough of times those really were and how people survived those times and not having enough, you know, there was no jobs and there was no, the economy was horrible. And, you know, especially farmers in Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas were getting hit double because of the Dust Bowl. So I think there's a reason that, you know, people came out of that generation so tough. I think it's what led to, you know, the baby boomer generation in the 40s and the 50s and even into the 60s. And, you know, that was a really good generation there, probably the greatest generation ever. But I think it came out of how tough it was in the 30s for people. So,
yeah. Okay. I like that. Definitely a good period to study and a good period to look back on. And then, of course, leading to World War II. And, you know, you're mentioning things that are happening in the U.S., which was a lot, but also things that are starting to brew internationally too, that, like you were kind of saying, lead up to World War II. So that's a very fascinating time to study. I actually would probably say post World War II, literally up until 2000, with everything that happened, you know, JFK and Watergate and the Cold War, just all of that stuff. It's just fascinating to me. And the fact that a lot of it is on video and we can hear those, like they kind of feel distant, but also you can hear them and see them at the same time. It's fascinating. So anyway,
that would probably be my second favorite. It would be really into the 60s. I mean, the World Wars and Civil War and all that stuff, so obviously it gets a lot of attention, but when you look at the 30s and how it formed us, and then when you look at the 60s, and I really always enjoyed teaching, you know, the civil rights movement and the desegregation and the things that happened there, Martin Luther King and JFK, and just all of the different dynamics. And then you get later in the 60s, you get Vietnam going. And so that area too, that's a fun area to learn about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And it's a little more recent. It's a little more contemporary. And like you said, you get some film and some visions and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about loving, respecting, honoring our parents as young adults. And I think that this is important for us to talk about, maybe something we don't really talk about a whole lot as young adults. What does it look like to honor our parents, our relationships with our parents? From the moment we graduate high school, it changes in some degree, and it takes on many different layers as our lives progress. So maybe just your personal experience, and maybe just in general, how does your relationship with your parents evolve during your young adult years?
I think in your young adult years, you kind of start to get out on your own, and you start making some decisions on your own, and you start realizing pretty quickly that your parents were a lot more right than what you realized when you were in the house. And then from where I'm at, it cycles even more than that. So, you know, when we had kids and they were young, then it was like, oh yeah, mom and dad were kind of right about that. Or it's like, yeah, now I understand why they were so tired all the time or whatever. And now, you know, I'm in a stage right now where Tinley's starting to play junior high basketball and sports. And it's like, oh goodness, they were busy all the time. And like, how in the world did my parents do that? And because, I mean, we're worn out with just two kids, and I was one of three. And so you kind of start to grow in your appreciation for the sacrifices that they made, especially raising kids. You know, college, I probably had a little bit of a different path than the standard. I mean, we got married at 19, so we graduated high school. We went to 1 year of college, and then it was me and Marisa, and we were on our own at 19. And so my parents were very good, obviously. I'm very blessed to have loving Christian parents. But I mean, it was kind of us then, you know, it was me and Marisa. So a lot of my young adult years were me and Marisa kind of forming our life together. But, you know, obviously still picking up the phone and calling your parents and talking to them, and you need them then, obviously, when you're a young adult. So I think it changes, obviously, in quite a bit, but they're still your parents, and you still love them, and got to have that relationship with them.
Yeah, I didn't think about the fact of when you're getting married so young, and obviously I'm kind of thinking about this too, just kind of, I'm kind of asking myself, like, what will that look like for me? And you were saying you kind of, it definitely takes a different shape once you get married. And then it also takes a different shape once you go off to college. But I'm sure marriage was probably the thing that, I don't know about like separated, but definitely that changed your relationship with them the most. Would you say that?
Yeah, definitely. I remember having conversations with Dad, and you know, we were talking, and if he's being honest, he was probably kind of against us getting married that early, just because him and Mom got married early, and he didn't finish college, partly because of that, because he had to go to work. And I remember sitting down with him, and I was like, hey, you know, it actually worked really well for me and Marisa. When we got married, we were broke. Instead of being on our parents' income, we didn't make any money. So we actually qualified for a lot more Pell grants. And so we ended up getting the rest of our college paid for on top of the scholarships that we had. So financially it made sense, but yeah, there was a divide there that, you know, it cut it off, and it was me and Marisa. And so I definitely think that marriage is a big part of that. And we can talk about a new relationship and boundaries with parents, and And you've got to kind of set those boundaries at times with your parents. And your parents have to respect those boundaries, you know, as your relationship starts to evolve, especially getting into marriage. I mean, it, a man will leave his mom for a wife. That's what I'm trying to say. And, you know, that's biblical. So that's how it goes. And, that's kind of how we did it there.
So kind of shifting gears to kind of our faith, like we're kind of talking about how y'all kind of got married. And so it was probably you two together establishing you guys' own faith and you doing it that within the context of marriage. So growing up as a teenager, I heard a lot of make your own, or, you know, establish your own faith. Make sure it's not just your parents. Make sure it's not just something that down the road you're just saying, well, I don't really know why I believe this. It's just what my parents did. And so that's kind of my basis. You need a good why within yourself. So what does it look like to build a faith that is your own as you start spending less time with your parents?
I think it's about going through experiences. I think sometimes that's going through bad things in your life and handling them on your own. Obviously that can be good things that you go through and giving God credit for that, but God wants you to lean on him and God can help you in that journey of developing your own faith. And sometimes that may not be real comfortable because he may take you, walk you through a valley or whatever it is that he's saying. You see so many examples of that in the Bible. You know, you think about Gideon and he's like, nah, there's too many people. We're just going to, you need less people so that you can lean on me. And you see it over and over and over throughout the Bible. And I think that applies to what we're kind of talking about here of young adults starting to develop. You know, college is hard. Things come up in college and bad things happen in college. And most college kids are strapped financially. And you probably got a car that's about ready to break down. And you know, there's a lot of things like that. And even if you don't go to college, whatever it is, if you want to go out and go to Votech or you want to start your own business or whatever, you're going to have bumps in the road, whether that's God taking you through that or just bad things happening or whatever, either, however you want to look at that, God's saying, hey, I'm here for you. Hey, lean on me. You need to start developing your own faith. And that doesn't mean that you don't call your parents. It doesn't mean that you don't call them and cry sometimes and say, hey, you know, I've got too much. And, but it's still you developing your own faith. And I would agree 100% with that. And we've already had some conversations with our girls about that. You know, you have to develop your own faith. Your parents' faith will not get you into heaven. And Jesus is pretty clear on that to the Jewish leaders who said, you know, Abraham's our father. Abraham's our whatever. And he says, no, that's not it. You know, you're not going to get into heaven because of something that your parents believe. For me and Marisa, I mean, we're talking about developing our own faith, but we've kind of grown in our faith together because we got married so young. And I would, you know, it was a good choice on my part, and she would say the same thing, to find a spouse that had the same beliefs as me, was raised in a Christian household. Not that it has to be that way, but it was a lot easier for us to start to develop our own faith with each other. So, and then we made some choices early that really kind of helped, I guess, separate us from our parents. We spent 3 months in Dripping Springs watching 5 kids, you know, babysitting them. And we were 20 years old. I mean, we couldn't even rent a car. We couldn't even hardly rent a hotel room because we were so young. And there was a lot of things that came up that summer. And that was a kind of a crazy deal that we were in. And looking back, it was like, you know, that was a really formative experience for us. And we had a great church home down there and people that we love, and we got to meet and develop some deep relationships with, and they helped us along the way. But it was us. I mean, you know, we were seven hours away from either one of our parents, and that was really good for us. And of course we spent time in college together. I did some youth ministry work there. And that was good for us to go through, you know, the challenges that come with ministry and leaning on each other as we were growing in our faith and doing all of that. So there were some things that we did. Obviously, we're not, I mean, I'm right back where I was raised, and I'd teach with my mom and dad. But, you know, we spent 2 years teaching at Fletcher. And so I feel like we spent enough time on our own away from both of our parents that we started to develop our own identity as a couple. And then, you know, we've been able to grow in our faith together through all that. So my journey is a little bit unique, but it's really not. You know, there is a little bit of divide that has to happen after graduation, and it needs to. And kids got to start developing their own faith or whatever that looks like.
I like how you presented it there at the first about kind of dependence when you're growing up. Not that there isn't times when you need to rely on God. There is. There's going to be times when, like you were kind of saying, your parents can't come help you out with this. You're going to need the help of God, or you're going to need to figure it out, you know, with his help and through his strength. And you're just going to have to do it. You're going to have to take care of that. And to your point, that grows your faith, those tests and those trials. If we aren't, and this goes for all of us, if we aren't ever tested, if there's never anything that goes wrong in our lives, then how can we really know if our faith is legit or not? You know, because it's easy for us when things are going well to put our faith in God, to trust in God. But when that thing happens, that challenging time happens, when that class is stressful at college, or when something maybe happens, didn't really go your way, what do you fall back on? What do you rely on? And if we're not developing a faith that is our own, instead of things that maybe we've just kind of memorized because our parents taught us, then we won't be where we want to be in our faith. And so I think that's important to note. And also, and you've mentioned this, understanding that what our parents have taught us, for the most part, are good things. And they're things that we do need to remember. Having a faith that's your own doesn't mean that you just start disagreeing or believing things that are completely different than what your parents taught you. But it does look like something that is personal to you. And so I like that you bring that up. And I appreciate you sharing those stories of kind of what it looks like to go and build that faith. And with your, I think, unique perspective of being married young, going off, and now being back in the same town as your parents, I just think that's a unique perspective there.
Yeah, it is. Just to add some of that, I think when you're growing up, you have a hedge of protection in a lot of ways, because you have good parents, and it doesn't matter if you want to go to church or not, they're going to take you to church. And that there's times that you're like, oh, we got to go to church again. You know, when you're young, it's like, yeah, well, you're going to go to church again. And they teach you those things. And sometimes you got to go through it. And maybe you're young and you're like, oh man, I'd, you know, rather stay home and do whatever. But they start modeling that for you. But it comes down to, how do you respond to Jesus? You know, when you look at what Jesus did on the earth, you have people that believed in him completely and lived a life for him. You had people that scorned him and laughed at him and mocked him. You had people like Nicodemus that were kind of halfway in between. You had people that were intrigued with him that maybe didn't commit to him. And I think that's important when we talk about how you developing your own faith. It doesn't matter how many times your parents drag you to church or what they taught, and you're thankful for them, and I am too. But how do you respond to the message of Christ? Do you respond by obeying the gospel? Do you halfway respond? Do you kind of, you know, how do you respond to Jesus? And then, you know, I've thought about this now since I knew I was coming on. You know, what about the people that didn't have Christian parents? The answer is still the same. they're going to get presented with Christ at some point in their life. They're going to hear the message. They're going to see it from another Christian. Maybe they had abusive parents. Maybe they had toxic parents. Maybe they had whatever. Maybe they had parents that don't believe in. I mean, there's a lot of people like that in the world that were not blessed with Christian parents. But it doesn't matter if you were raised going to church every Sunday, like we were in a Christian household, or if you were raised in an atheist household. The question, and when you're talking about developing your own faith, comes down to how do you respond to the message of Christ? And just because you were raised in a Christian home doesn't mean that you're going to respond to it properly or clothe yourself with Christ in baptism, whatever that is. And just because you weren't raised in a Christian home doesn't mean that you can't and that you won't. You know, you still got to, the question still is to, you know, it's the old invitation song. What will you do with Jesus? So I think that may kind of fit in there when we're talking about developing your own faith.
I like that. I mean, just how do you respond to Jesus? His life, death, resurrection. I mean, just what do you think? Not, you know, not what are your parents or your siblings or anyone else. At the end of the day, you know, like you said, it's going to be you standing there. And so I think that that's a good point there. And so kind of leaning into that, what were some good things that your parents taught you that you have carried over into your own life?
Well, I don't want this to be contradictory, but I appreciate that they took me to church and they set that example of going to church every time because I've taken that over. And there's times that, you know, now that our girls are getting older and stuff, and we are very busy with a lot of things, we're still going to church. And, you know, that was ingrained with me, that all of that being raised in the Christian household is very helpful when you're talking about developing your own faith. You know, my parents were hardworking parents. Mom taught school. There was times I'm sure she wished she could have stayed at home, but she worked. And there was a stretch where Dad, I remember him getting up at 4 o'clock every morning to drive to Elk City, and he was a postal worker. And so hard work, you know, that was mirrored for us in a lot of ways. Christian values, love, and respect for each other, and how to interact with each other in a household. My parents have never necessarily been super affectionate, I guess, mushy-gushy. They are, but not super. You know, they're kind of there, but I never once questioned, and still don't, whether or not they love me or loved us growing up. They, you know, there was a lot of love in the household. And no, those are things that, you know, I'm very fortunate that Marisa was raised in a similar household. And, you know, we try to do the same thing. You know, we try to be respectful with each other. We try to be respectful with our kids and be loving and try to do that. So yeah, there was a lot of things that I'm very thankful for that I was, you know, taught, and hopefully we can carry on some of that.
I mean, those are all great things. And obviously I'd say the same about myself. And I think so often when we talk about parents as adults, we tend to focus on the negative and say, well, there was all this, you know, bad stuff. But I think it's like, we almost have to like choose, like, were they good parents or were they bad parents? But honestly, they were people just like all of us are. And this is their first time parenting. You know, one day it's going to be all of our first time parenting and we're going to make mistakes. And so I think acknowledging by saying, yes, it is my own faith. Yes, there may be some things even that I do it a little differently. That doesn't mean that they're bad parents or that they didn't do a good job. There were still a lot of good things that they taught us that we're going to carry over into our own lives. And so I think pointing those out and recognizing them, because we do tend to maybe fixate more on the negative than the positive, I think it's good to just point those things out and realize what were some of the things that my parents did teach me that, you know, I'm carrying over into my own life and with you, with your family? What are those things, and how can I show gratitude to God, obviously, for blessing me with them, but also to them sometimes? So I think that's really good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, parents mess up, and I think that kind of starts to change. You know, you're kind of right in that age where you're at, but going through college and you start to get married, and it's like, you know, yeah, our parents were not perfect. And there's times when you're growing up that you just get mad at your parents because of whatever. And maybe they did make a mistake, but it's like, oh yeah, this and that. And they taught us how to love, and they taught us how to be respectful, and they taught us obedience, and they taught us hard work, and they taught us all of this stuff. And you kind of start to realize that more. And I think the more you grow in your faith in God, the more you kind of start to realize that. So yeah, that's a good point, sir.
Yeah. So in your, we've kind of touched on this, but in your young adult years, as we've talked about, you go through just so many different changes. And so how can we maintain, honoring your father and mother, through those changes?
Well, I think when you're, let's say, while you're still in the household, before you graduate high school, or even if you live with parents for a year or two after high school and college or whatever, while you're still under their house, I think honoring your parents is a heavy dose of obedience. No matter what, you know, they tell you to do something, you do it. That comes with respect and obviously loving your parents. I think it changes to some degree. I don't know that you have a requirement to be obedient to your parents after you've are out on your own, especially once you get married. You still have a responsibility to be respectful to them and listen to them and have conversations with them. And, you know, what does honoring your parents look like as a young adult? I think it's open and honest communication, whether that's getting married or just going through and starting your life, being open and being honest with them. I think it's listening to them. I think it's asking for help and asking for advice, something that you probably don't do a whole lot of when you're in high school because you think your parents are wrong about everything, but you start to realize that they're not. And I think when you're kind of in your formative adult years, if you will, I think one of the best ways you can honor your parents is call them and ask them for advice. And I don't think that means that you have to take it. If that makes sense, but mm-hmm. calling and asking yeah. for advice just from perspective, for their perspective, is probably going to give you a perspective that you didn't have, and like, oh yeah, that is makes sense, and that does make sense, and then go from there. You know, I think you start talking about boundaries, especially, you know, you're about to get married and other people are thinking about it. You've got to set boundaries in your marriage. You got to set boundaries when you start having kids and grandkids. And sometimes those conversations are not fun. But parents will understand that. Good parents do understand that you're starting your own life. So you can do all of that, and you can even disagree with your parents and still be respectful and still honor them. You're still representing them. I mean, no matter what, I'm still Teddy's son, Teddy and Dee Dee's son, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it's going to be that way till the day I die. Of course, everybody picks me out as a white, so I can't get away from it. But I think that's important to note, you know, when you start making decisions in your life, that even when you're 21, 22, 23, 30, 38, decisions that I make still reflect on my parents. And that's a motivating factor for me to continue to try to make the right decision in whatever the situation is. So I don't know that I have any one thing there of what honoring your parent looks like, but I think it looks like listening and talking and open communication and asking them for advice. I'm blessed that I get to coach and I get to teach with my dad right across the hallway, and we're more friends now than anything. It's what it feels like to me. We go golfing, we hang out, we sit around, we talk, but we also have deep conversations with each other. And we're kind of both at a place where we have some unique perspectives on different things, and he still has a lot more wisdom than I do, you know, and that's important for young adults to know of. Once you get out, yeah, you're kind of doing it, and you have your own faith, and that's great. Obviously, you look to the Lord for wisdom, but those parents still have a lot of wisdom, and they probably still have a lot more than you do. Wisdom isn't something that you get at college in a book. Wisdom comes from experience and spiritual maturity, comes from time, and it comes from a long time walking with God. So you'd be mistaken to not lean on those attributes that your parents still have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your dad is definitely a wise man. Not better than me at golf, but,
well, I don't know.
He would probably argue about that one.
Yeah.
I think where my game's at now, I'd probably say he could take me. But no, that's so good. I love what you said about asking them for advice is a way to honor them. I've never really thought about it like that because, you know, anytime you're asking someone for advice, you're saying, I'm asking you this because I value your opinion and I respect you. You're not going to ask advice from someone that you don't respect. I mean, the people that I ask advice, you know, for the most are the people that I respect the most. And so I really like that. And then I like how, you know, you mentioned this about your dad, and I think we can kind of get there as adults is when your parents become kind of more of a friend-like figure, instead of, like you were saying previously, about, you know, my house, my rules, you need to be obedient towards me. Well, now we're not living in the same house. We're not being told to take out the trash. We're not being told to load the dishes or whatever. So it takes on a different role just with that. It takes on a different role of more, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, I've got this going on in my job. Do you got any advice? And so I really like that. And, you know, the communication, I really like as well. Just being open, just being upfront with them, checking in on them. I think that's something else too, that I've been thinking about is, you know, it's just a fact is, as you get older, your parents are getting older too. And so you're kind of checking in on them, not just health-wise, but just mentally, spiritually, how are you doing? How are things going? Well, so I've noticed kind of in my own life, just kind of maybe more just asking them questions and being a little more interested. You kind of give back a little bit is what I'm saying. They spend, you know, half their lives taking care of you, raising you, paying money for you. I remember Zachary telling me one time it cost like $200,000 to raise a kid. Yeah. And I forgot how many years that was.
Yeah.
It may have just been like 1 year if you had however many kids, but it's just crazy the amount of money and not just money, but mental energy, you know, they're pouring into you. And so I kind of like what you're saying about kind
of
giving back. Yeah. Especially now. So yeah, well, that's good stuff.
I think, to add a little bit on that, you know, and my kids are still in school, but man, if they come to me, every parent wants their kid to lean on them. And that mirrors God's relationship with us. We call him Father. Okay. He created us for a reason. He created us for relationship. You know, we don't want to turn our back on God. Sometimes sin and temptation or the devil works really hard for us to not lean on God. He's going to be happy when we try to settle stuff on our own. We don't take it to God in prayer. Every parent wants a kid to lean on them. I mean, if my daughters crawl up in my lap and just sit on my lap still, you know, even though they're kind of getting bigger and older, you know, that's the best feeling in the world. And I'm not there yet, but I got to imagine that it doesn't change much for a young adult to call dad or to call mom and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. I need you. And that's great. And that mom and dad's going to say, yeah, I'm here for you. I love you. You're my kid. And da, 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 da. That's mirroring the relationship that you have with the Heavenly Father of, yeah, when times get hard, you still go lean on them and they're going to be really happy. And that's a way of honoring them. It's a way of loving them. When you go through, you know, difficult times of still calling out to them and leaning on them, even though you're on your own now and you're making your own. So I don't know. I think that's an interesting comparison there between leaning on your parents and leaning on God.
I like that. So if there's anything else, just to kind of wrap up, we've talked about a lot of different things, but what are some things we can do, if you haven't mentioned it already, but what are some things we can do to love our parents better as young adults?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a whole lot that I haven't already mentioned. I think the communication's big. I think, you know, Acts, we were, it's on my mind, I guess. We were in Bible class, we were talking about small gifts, and I think that would apply. Texting your parents, hey, how's it going? Have a good day. Whatever. I think there's some little things like that that I can help develop that relationship. I think technology can be really useful in this area that we're talking about. If you are away from your parents, you have distance, but it's not like back in the day when you had to call them up on a rotary phone. You can text them, you can Facebook message, you can see pictures on Facebook or whatever it is. And so I think technology's kind of helped with this, what we're talking about of keeping distance and still maintaining it. I think it's good to express your appreciation to them. And tell them thank you for raising you. You know, be vocal about that. Let them know that you love them. And yeah, go from there.
Yeah, those are all really good things. And just to kind of add on to that, just giving gifts to them. I really enjoy. I don't know what y'all do, but our siblings always kind of go together during Christmas time and get our parents something. And I love doing that. And it's Christmas or whatever, but there is definitely that deeper meaning of all those years you gave to us. Now let us get back to you. So I really like that. And so you can do that. And I think what we need to, definitely, I don't know about a caveat, but just to kind of add to that would be, you can do that, like you're saying, and still have your own family, still be married yourself, still have kids yourself, and still also respect your parents. There's kind of that push now of, you know, just your parents are your extended family now. They're not your real family. They're, you know, completely almost like cutting them out almost. That's kind of the popular trend now. And I just don't agree with that. I think you can have your own family, your own life, and your own spiritual life, obviously, and still have that respect and love for your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't cut them out. You don't need to. There's a whole conversation of grandkids. You know, that's one of the best gifts you can give to your parents is have some grandkids. You go drop them off at their house and go away for a weekend and go from there. I will say, I think something to add is we really haven't talked about it, but when your parents do get older in life and they do need more care, and when you're talking about loving your parents, how can you show your parents that you still love them? How can you continue to honor your father and mother? You know, that can be a very large task when physically bodies start wearing down and all parents go through that, and you step in and you show them it's a really good opportunity to repay, you know, what they did for you throughout your life. And everything that we talked about, you want to maintain, you know, as a young adult and as you're getting married and as you're, you know, having kids. That's why you don't want to cut your parents off. You need to maintain that relationship. It's a more distant relationship, you know, to some degree, but you got to maintain it because you need to be there for them when they get older in life and they need help and they need care. And so I think it's, part of it. I think that's part of our Christian duty, is to take care of our parents when they age. I think that's part of honoring them. So throw that in there on a side, but I think it applies in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, Travis, you said a lot of good stuff there. I mean, I know you're a busy man, so thanks for taking some time to come back on the show. This was a great conversation.
I'll do it again if you'll have me on.
So, oh, absolutely. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, you betcha. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.